Thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio and it's the Morning Mix with me, Robert Meikle. And now we're joined with our blind chef, Ian Gentle. You have a fantastic recipe for us today, Ian, don't you?
I do indeed. This is a Victoria sponge recipe, Robert, that was given to me by an old lady many years ago. Now, most recipes that you see for Victoria sponge say, oh, take two sponge tins and make two separate cakes. Not this old lady. She said, no, she makes it in a proper size cake tin and you make a cake and you cut it in half. But the interesting thing that she told me, she said, the secret of a good Victoria sponge is weigh the eggs, then use the exact same weight in sugar, flour, and butter. So the first thing I'm going to do before I carry on with the recipe is I'm going to go into my kitchen and turn on my Cobalt Speechmaster talking scales.
Zero.
There we go. And I'm going to weigh four eggs. So there's one.
55 grams.
There's two.
110 grams.
There's three.
170 grams.
There's four.
225 grams.
Now that's 225 grams. So we will also need 225 grams of flour, 225 grams of sugar, and 225 grams of butter. Now most recipes will say softened butter. They tell you to take the butter out of the fridge and leave it for a few hours to soften. But that can be very difficult for blind and partially sighted people when it comes to weighing them up. So I've got a technique to handle that, which we'll go on to see what that is. Now, the next ingredient we need is a teaspoonful of baking powder, then 3 to 4 large dessert spoonfuls of jam, about 170 grams. I prefer plum jam because it's a Victoria sponge, but others prefer apricot. But really, use whatever kind of jam you'd like. Now, for equipment, a bowl of hot soapy water, as usual. You can't make a cake without getting your fingers sticky. So have a bowl of soapy water and a tea towel to hand. An 8-inch by 4-inch cake tin, the kind with a loose bottom. Baking parchment, or greaseproof paper is what it used to be called. Now, I confess that I cheat by getting my wife to cut the round piece of paper for the bottom of the tin and the broad strip for the sides of the tin. So sue me.
I think you can be forgiven for that.
Right. Talking scales, which you've just heard. A small chopping board, about 6-inch by 10-inch. A measuring spoon for a teaspoon. A dessert spoon for the jam. A hand whisk, an electric whisk, a plastic spatula, a bone-handled table knife, large mixing bowl, a long sharp knife, and a pudding basin. The method. Now you weigh the eggs as we've just done. Then you weigh the same amount of sugar and put that into the mixing bowl. Use the hand whisk to mix up the sugar and break up any lumps. And also, if you give the bowl a little sideways shake for a couple of seconds, you'll find any lumps will come to the top. You can feel them on the surface and break them up. Weigh the same amount of flour. Take the bowl of flour off the scale and put that to one side. Add the baking powder to the flour and use the hand whisk to mix it all up together. Place the small chopping board on the talking scale. Now, I should say, before you do that, make sure you've turned the scale off. There's a reason for this, because we're going to weigh the butter up. So turn the scale off, put the small chopping board onto the scale. Take the butter out of the fridge, unwrap, cut a small slice off the end about the thickness of your finger. Switch on the scale, put the large piece of butter on the chopping board on the scale. Now, if it weighs less than the eggs, add a little more from the piece you've cut off. If it weighs more than the eggs, take a little bit off. Now, take the chopping board with the butter off the scale. Place the butter on its narrow side and cut in half lengthways. Turn the block onto its wide side and cut into 3 lengthways. Then cut slices from the end about a finger thick each, and each slice will make 6 small cubes of butter. Drop these into the sugar. Repeat until all the butter is cubed and in the sugar. Then put aside and leave for about 1.5 hours to soften. Go and do something else. Finally, we come back and we grease the cake tin with the paper the butter was wrapped in. Then use the leftover butter to grease the lining paper and line the cake tin. When the butter is soft, use the plastic spatula to mix the sugar and the butter until all the sugar is absorbed into the butter. Scrape into a lump in the middle of the bowl. Use the electric whisk on the mixture for about 30 seconds. Let the whisk stop before removing from the bowl, otherwise you'll spray little bits of butter and sugar all over your kitchen, and you don't want to do that. Use the plastic spatula to scrape down the sides of the bowl and bring the mixture to a lump in the middle of the bowl again. Use the bone-handled table knife to scrape off the spatula and scrape the butter and sugar back into the middle of the bowl. Now, repeat another three times. That is, mix it with the whisker another three times for 30 seconds, then scrape it down into the middle of the bowl. Now, by that time, the mixture should be very pale, which you can't see, of course, but slightly fluffy. But it will be if you've done what I say. Now, scrape into the middle of the bowl, crack one of the eggs on top of the mixture, and apply the whisk for about 35 seconds. Scrape down the mixture into the center of the bowl again, add the second egg, and whisk again, this time for about 45 seconds. Scrape into the center again, and do the third egg and whisk for 50 seconds. Then scrape down again, add the fourth egg, and whisk for about 60 seconds. I do this not using a timer. I just go 1001, 1002, 1003, up to 30 or 40 or 50 or 60. By that time, the mixture should be sort of fairly stiff. Add the flour and fold in with the plastic spatula until all the flour is absorbed. I use a cutting and folding motion with the plastic spatula, and you want to get all the flour absorbed, but you don't want to overwork the mix, otherwise you'll lose all the air from it. Pour the mixture into the cake tin. Shake to distribute. So get hold of the cake tin with the mixture in and give it a good shake, and this spreads it out evenly all over the bottom of the tin. Use the spatula to scrape the residue of all the cake mix that's left on the side of the mixing bowl into the cake tin. Then use the spatula to smooth the top of the mixture and scrape off the mixture from the spatula with your bone-handled knife. Now, I should have said we have to preheat the oven. So the oven is already preheated, we'll assume, to gas mark 4. Put the cake in the oven and allow to cook for 50 minutes. Do not, under any circumstances, open the oven door during the cooking process. If you do, the cake will sink in the middle. So, when the cake is baked, take it out of the oven and allow to cool for 30 minutes. Take your pudding basin and put it upside down on a work surface. Take the cake and place it on top of the pudding basin. Hold the cake tin in your hands around the sides and push the side down. This will allow the side of the cake tin to slide down, and you're left with the cake sitting on top of the pudding basin. Remove the paper from the side. Turn the cake upside down and remove the bottom of the tin from the bottom of the cake and the paper with it. Turn it on its right side. Take the large knife, and I confess I cheated yesterday when I made the cake, and I let my wife do this because she's better at judging whereabouts along the side of the cake halfway is. But basically, you slice the cake in half sideways, so you've got two complete rounds of cake, one for the top and one for the bottom. Take your 3 to 4 tablespoonfuls of jam, spread it all over the bottom half of the cake, take the top, place it on top of your bottom half, and there you have a Victoria sponge.
Ian, it sounds delicious, and I think I may actually try it on Saturday.
Oh, I made it yesterday, and my wife and I had some with our afternoon coffee. She took a lump into work with her for the girls in the office, but there's two pieces left for when she gets home.
Oh, right, okay. Oh, that sounds lovely. Would you recommend that I make it on the Friday or earlier on the Saturday?
Most bakers would say bake it fresh the same day. Mm-hmm. But because it takes us a bit longer than other people, there's nothing wrong with making it the day before. But if you do that, don't put it in the fridge overnight. It'll go wodgy. If you cook it for the next day, put it into a cake tin and don't put it in the fridge. Yeah, because what happens, you put it in the fridge and all the moisture within the cake goes solid and you get a very wodgy cake. Whereas if you leave it out, I mean, I'd wrap it in cling film, but put it into a cake tin, you'll find it still moist and light the next day.
Again, another very successful, another very delicious recipe from you, Ian, there.
Well, I hope you enjoy it, Robert.
Well, I will do, I will do. Well, thanks very much, Ian.
All right, mate. Bye. Talk to you next week. Bye now.
You're listening to AdNIB Connect Radio.
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.